and welcome to the Week Junior Show. My name is Bex, and we have another fun-packed episode for you. This week, we'll be finding out why fruit and veg is disappearing off our shelves. We're going to be talking about school pupils who are protesting about going to the toilet. We're discussing a royal cat in Poland and debating whether books should be rewritten. So, to tell us all about these stories and a little bit more, we're joined by two of the team from the Week Junior magazine. We've got Deputy Editor Rahul and Associate Editor Laura. So, before we start the show, it's time for our question of the week. Now, later on, we're going to be hearing a bit about fruit and vegetable shortages across the UK. So, I wanted to know, which fruit or vegetable would you miss the most from your supermarket shelves? This is one of the toughest questions I think I've ever had to ask here. I don't know. I'd miss all of them quite a lot. Right now, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm in the mood for a leek, so I think I'd quite miss leeks. But actually, I think overall, if I'm honest with myself, it's strawberries. If there were no strawberries around, I'd be gutted. Rahul, how do you feel about your fruit and veg?
I strongly agree, Bex. This is a real toughie. I had to think long and hard about this. But I think I'm going to plump for tomatoes. I was just thinking about how much I use tomatoes in cooking. I mean, it's pretty much in everything. And then I got around to thinking about a pizza without tomato. And that was just, yeah, a very miserable thought.
It's unthinkable. A pizza without tomatoes, like a world without chocolate. No, I can't even think of it, Rahul. Laura, what is your opinion on this?
Well, I have to agree with the tomatoes. I remember when the shops ran out of tinned tomatoes during the pandemic. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
and couldn't make a bolognese. That was awful. But my favourite, if I'm allowed, is actually a combination of two veg, because in my house they more often than not come together, and that is peas and sweet corn. So we always have a bag of peas and a bag of sweet corn in the freezer. And it's just great because if you run out of fresh veg, you always know that you've got peas and corn in the freezer. So I'd be lost without them. But I have to say out of the two that sweet corn is my favourite. And I have been known to eat it straight from the tin just with a fork.
Oh, my goodness. Laura, this is like the most controversial thing you've ever said. I don't know how I feel about that. Rahul, I felt like you made a little face there, Rahul. How do you feel about peas and sweet corn?
I like the peas and the sweet corn. It was just the tin bit.
Oh, fair enough. Although actually going back to the leek, Bex, I have to say that when I was researching a story, which Rahul's going to talk about in a minute, there was a quote from leek farmers saying that is going to be the next shortage.
No, my beautiful leeks!
Don't stock up, don't be a panic buyer, but yeah.
Oh my goodness, no, don't get me worried now. I'll be going out to buy all of the leeks I can possibly find. Well, let's get on to this cover story then, shall we? I need to hear about what's going to happen to my leeks.
Well, as you've just heard, our cover story is about the mystery of the vanishing fruit and veg. And this has to be one of, I think, probably my favourite cover of all time for the Week Junior. So we've got a cucumber, we've got a tomato, we've got a lettuce, we've got a pepper, we've even got a little cute little radish, all with little faces. On our front cover, and the story is about shortages of fruit and vegetables in our supermarkets. And some of our listeners and readers might be experiencing this at school, because my son's school sent us an email this week listing around 10 different vegetables that they're experiencing shortages of, including broccoli, cucumbers, lettuces, lots of different varieties of tomatoes. Now, the reason there is a shortage of these vegetables and fruit in our supermarkets is because lots of them are grown in other countries and then brought into the UK. So, for example, tomatoes and I think lettuces are grown in Spain and Morocco, but both of those countries have had some adverse weather. So I think there's been very cold weather in Spain and also floods in Morocco, which has really harmed farmers growing those particular crops. So we've not been able to bring them into the UK. Then in some other countries, colder countries, where they use greenhouses to grow some of these fruit and veg, the rising energy costs means that farmers have chosen not to grow these fruit and veg because it's too expensive for them. So they are some of the reasons behind the shortage. What that means is that many supermarkets are limiting how many of these items you can buy. So, for example, some supermarkets are saying you can only buy 3 cucumbers or 3 lots of broccoli. Although I have to confess, the last time I popped into the supermarket last weekend, the shelves were just pretty bare. They weren't even there to buy. The good news, however, is that this shortage is expected to be temporary. So the government has said it should last no longer than a month. So I think we've got another couple of weeks of this, and then the veg and fruit supply will be plentiful once again.
So no ratatouille for a while, is that what we're saying, Rahul?
It sounds like it. Although, from what I understand, the government's recommending that we eat turnips. So could you do a ratatouille with turnips?
Probably not, but I could do a good mash. I reckon mashed turnip with a bit of butter, not the healthiest, but very tasty. And by the way, I should say I'm not a chef, obviously. Like, do not follow my advice. I also want to point out on the Week Junior cover, if you're listening right now and you've not got it, when you happen to catch it, see if you can spot a little caterpillar as well. That's all I'll say. There's a little caterpillar hiding on that front cover. Now it's time for the real or rubbish. This is the section of the show where one of the team tries to trick me. They're going to tell me a story. I have to guess whether it's true or false, and I'm intrigued about this week's. So, Laura, what have we got?
So this week we have got a story about a cat. I'm just going to have to shuffle my papers here because this cat is in Poland. Mm-hmm. And so I've had to look up how to pronounce some of these places. So the cat's name is Gasek, and Gasek lives in the Polish city of Szczecin. I hope I've got that right. Mm-hmm. Sorry if anyone Polish is listening. And basically this cat has been dubbed the King of Kazubka Street. So this cat is a slightly tubby black and white cat. So the name Gasek translates actually as long-eared bat. And Gasek has clawed his way to the top of the city's most popular tourist attraction list after he was filmed by a local news station. So basically he went viral. So he lived on a box in this street, but everybody loved him and they were feeding him, which I think is why he's got a bit tubby. And yeah, basically, because he got in the media, all of a sudden people started to recognise him from afar. So he's had loads of tourists come to visit him as well. Somebody actually came from Oslo to meet Gasek. And yes, he is now the city's most famous attraction. So this city is famous for being home to Catherine the Great, who was a famous empress and leader of Russia in the 1700s. But forget Catherine the Great. This is just about a great cat, basically.
can I ask, why did he go viral? What was he doing in this video? Was he doing cartwheels? Was he, you know, was he reading from his work of poetry?
No, he was just being fabulous. I mean, he doesn't need to do anything like that, no.
He was a great cat. That was all it was.
He's just, he's very self-assured, I would say. And he's just in charge of the situation. And I think people admire that. And yes, he is getting pretty hefty, and people have actually said not to feed him. There's too many people feeding him now. But he's clocked up more than 2,500 reviews. I think this must be on something like TripAdvisor or something like that. And he's achieved a near perfect 4.9 out of 5 score.
I like what you did there. There's no catastrophe about it. You are giving me a very tricky... I just don't know, because... First of all, I've got to take out of my head my natural... I'm more of a dog person, I'll put it out there. I don't trust cats. I'm going to just say it. I feel like a cat getting a 5-point review on TripAdvisor...
4.9.
Okay, 4.9. Oh, right, he's just dropped it by a whisker. He's missed it. But I've got to say, I don't understand what the attraction is. It's just a cat. Like, it's a very tubby cat, right? Like, that's my problem. I don't understand how... over 2,000 people can be like, you know what? I'm going to go to this city and I'm going to review. What was it? The King of Kazubka Street? Was that right?
That's true. That is the name that he's been given. Yeah. So, I mean, this story actually goes back to 2020. So I'm not quite sure why it's still going. But yeah, he's just very popular. I think he's probably quite friendly. And
does he stay in the same place all the time? Like, does he roam the streets, or does he have a little patch?
He's got a patch. Yeah, he's actually got a box which he calls home, and apparently he does actually have an owner who looks after him. So I mean, it's similar to there's where I used to live in London. There was this train station cat that belonged to someone, but she was always just hanging out by the train station. So yeah.
I know cats are famous for going to people's houses, and like, they travel around and they eat different food from wherever they can. So I get that. I know that cats can be pretty flexible with where their homes are. But I don't know. I don't understand what, maybe it's just me. Maybe this is my own personal opinions coming out here, but I don't understand how a cat can, I wouldn't go from Oslo to Poland just to be like, I just want to see a cat. I'd stay at home and look at a cat. Yeah. That's really thrown me, because I don't understand why people would do that. But then people love cats. Who am I to judge? Well, I'll tell you who I am. I am Bex from The Week Junior, and I will judge this. And I will try and figure out the answer later. In the meantime, it's time for our book of the week. The book this week is called Moonflight, and it's an adventure about a timid rat who must take on a dangerous quest to return a diamond to its rightful owner. So the author is Jill Lewis, who's got a little message for us.
Hello there, listeners of The Week Junior Show. My name is Jill Lewis, author of Moonflight, which has been selected as Book of the Week in the current issue of the magazine. And I'm here to answer a very important question. What was my favourite children's book growing up? Well, it was Watership Down by Richard Adams, a brilliant adventure story about rabbits, but about so much more too, about power, tyranny, freedom and environmental issues. Happy reading, everyone.
Got to say, I've never actually read Watership Down. So thank you, Jill, for telling us all about it. And of course, you don't need to have written a book to send us a message. You can send your news to hello@theweekjunior.co.uk or leave us a voice note at funkidslive.com/theweekjunior, where you just need to look for that big red button. Now, it's time for the reader inbox. What was going on this week in the inbox of The Week Junior, Laura?
Well, in last week's issue of the magazine, we celebrated St. David's Day on the 1st of March. St. David is the patron saint of Wales. And we had a how to make Welsh cakes, which are kind of like flat little fruit scones. And a few of our readers have sent in some pictures of the amazing Welsh cakes that they've made. So Penny sent us a picture of her amazing looking huge batch of Welsh cakes. Also, though, she did say that she shared them with her family, so that's good. And Isaac also made a delicious looking batch, and it was apparently the first time that he'd ever followed a recipe from start. So thank you for sending in your pictures. We love pictures, especially pictures of food. Delicious. So keep sending them in.
Yeah, that's made me very peckish indeed. Thank you very much to Penny and, of course, to Isaac. Now it's time for our two top stories from this week. Rahul, what was your must read in the magazine?
My pick of the week is a story about two lovely Labradors, Bess and Buster, who have been trained by the Metropolitan Police and are going to be working with a conservation charity, ZSL, to help some animals stop being trafficked. Pangolins, one of the most trafficked mammals in the world, and these Labradors, Bess and Buster, will be going to Thailand to work in airports and in border controls to sniff out pangolins that are being trafficked. And if they do find some pangolins, then they're going to be rescued and put back into the wild. So that's just a really sweet story we've got there about some lovely dogs.
That's amazing. I do love a Labrador, as we've discussed on the show already. I'm much more of a dog person. But what clever dogs they are to be able to sniff out these creatures.
Incredible. So yeah, as I understand it, they're trained by the police, and they're going to be traveling out to Thailand. So big adventures for these dogs.
Yeah, they get a little holiday out of it as well. Why not? Laura, what's your story this week?
So my story was on our UK news page, and it was about some school protests that have been happening around England. So it was some secondary school pupils in Cornwall, Essex, Lincolnshire and Yorkshire, and they were causing some disruption to lessons, and some of them were refusing to go to class because of a new rule that came in, making it harder for them to go to the toilet during class. So it's important to point out that nobody was actually banned from going to the loo here. An Essex head teacher was quoted as saying that pupils are able to access the toilets before school, in break times and after school. But to access them during lessons, they would need to request for a pass from a teacher.
Okay.
And a school in Cornwall said that it was doing it to minimise disruption to teaching. But some of the parents have used words like controlling and embarrassing to describe the rules. And obviously they didn't go down well with pupils. I have to say, I remember an English teacher at my school, hello, Mr. Courtney, if you're listening, trying to introduce a similar rule, and it didn't go down very well. So I wonder what our readers will think of this. Maybe we should have done it as a debate. But what do you guys think? Did you have anything like that at school, that rules like that?
I don't think we did, actually. I think our teachers were pretty flexible, as long as we didn't kind of go overboard, and clearly we were just leaving for the sake of leaving the classroom. How about you, Rahul?
Yeah, no strong memories really. No, I can't seem to remember any like really strict rules around going to the toilet and stuff.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I bet a lot of our listeners and your readers will have examples of this. So yeah, if you do, definitely get in touch. Like I said, you can go to funkidslive.com/theweekjunior and record a little message for us. Time for the big debates, and this week it's all about books. Should they be rewritten? Now, the book publisher Puffin has changed some of the words in stories by Roald Dahl to remove language that might upset some readers. So Roald Dahl's books like Matilda, the BFG, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and the Twits, well, they've sold more than 300 million copies, which is quite a lot. And Puffin want to remove words like fat and ugly to avoid upsetting readers. But lots of people don't think it's right to change these classic books. So that's the question for this week's big debate. Should books be rewritten? Here's how it works. Laura and Rahul have 60 seconds each to make their case. And I'm going to get the timer out first, Rahul, obviously. Rahul, you're going to go first. You're going to say why it's okay to rewrite books. Is that correct?
I am indeed.
So whenever you're ready, take it away.
Books should be rewritten. Some of Roald Dahl's books were written in the 1960s and language and attitudes change over time. So for me, it makes perfect sense for books to be looked at to make sure that they've moved with the times and that the language is appropriate and isn't mean or nasty. It's the right thing to do. Secondly, all old books, when they're reprinted, are checked and thought about for changes. You know, it's good practice. And Roald Dahl's books should be, the same rules should apply to Roald Dahl's books as anyone else's, really. Finally, any changes to books that make them more accessible and inclusive and able to be enjoyed by more people is surely a good thing. It encourages reading, and also it means that they're available to buy by a wider range of people, so the writer and the publisher can make more money. It's a no-brainer.
Oh, lovely ending on a rather capitalist note there, Rahul. Didn't expect that from you, but there we go. All right, well, it's up to Laura to disagree. So Laura, whenever you're ready, take it away.
Okay. So no, I'm arguing that books should be left as they are. And that's because I think it's a form of censorship. So censorship is the banning of ideas, words or images. And it's dangerous, really, because I think it limits what people can say, it limits free expression. And I don't think that a big organisation like Puffin should be deciding what an author should or shouldn't say in those books. I think just because you don't like something, it doesn't mean that you should change it. I think, as well, it's better to leave books unchanged so that people can talk about them. Obviously, Rahul's right, things do move with the times and things change, but it's better that we talk about these things. I remember reading books when I was a child and that were old-fashioned, and I would talk to my mum about them and she would explain. And if you know why something was like it was, then you can discuss it. And oh, I've run out of that's never happened to me. No.
That was a very good argument. That was a very good debate. That was great.
Okay.
Now, this is a tricky one because I think our listeners will have a lot of opinions about this. So if you're listening right now, you can get involved. Go to theweekjunior.co.uk/polls and tell us your opinion. You can also comment wherever it is you're listening to your podcast, or of course, record a voice note at funkidslive.com/theweekjunior. Just hit that big red button and tell us what you think. Now, last week, our debate was all about whether it's better to use cash or card. And Laura, I think you've got the results, right?
Yes, I do, Bex. So there were 475 votes this week, and it was quite close. 56% of our listeners and readers thought that cards were quicker and easier to use, but 44% still preferred to use cash, which is more than I thought, actually. And my mum will be pleased with that because she worries that cash is going out of fashion.
Yeah, so do I. That was very close, much closer than I thought. We've also had a few voice notes as well from our listeners. So let's check in with one of them from Flo.
I think cash is good because no cash means no tooth fairy, and also card machines break down whereas humans don't.
So there's also some messages in the inbox. Rahul, what do we have?
We've got a few different messages and a range of opinions. We've got one that's about convenience. One reader says cards are way quicker to pay with as you don't need to count all your money up. And I guess we've all been there behind the person in the queue that's just like counting out their change, and it can be a little bit Yeah, irksome. Another reader says, I think cards are more useful than cash because you can lose cash very easily, which is a practical thought. And lastly, we have a reader who likes squirreling money away. They say, I have so much fun putting money that I've gained in a special box and seeing how the money builds up.
I like that a lot. All right, now it's time to go back to our real or rubbish story. Laura, can you remind me what we've got this week, please?
I can, yes. So this was all about the famous Polish cat, Gasek, who has become quite the celebrity in the Polish city of Szczecin, which I hope I'm saying right.
Gasek the cat. What do I think about this? Right, so I'm going to have to put my cat prejudices aside here. This is the thing. I'm going to have to look at this without my love of dogs and my distrust of cats. And I am going to say that other people do love cats. Who am I to judge? So I'm going to say the story this week is real, even though I don't understand why you would travel to go and see a cat.
Okay. So should we have a drum roll?
Little drum roll.
It's real. You're right.
Actually.
Yeah.
People are just travelling to see a cat.
Yeah, but I mean, if you can see why people would do it for a dog, I guess it's the same for a cat. Obviously, the guy from Oslo was a big cat person.
Clearly, I hope they had a cat cafe nearby or something just to make his trip worthwhile. I mean. Well done to Gasek for getting so many good reviews on TripAdvisor. I can think of lots of places that would love that kind of reputation. Yeah. But personally, would you go and see Famous Cat, Laura? Would you go check
I out? Am a bit of a nutty cat person, so I probably would. And I think, I can't remember now, but I think the most popular tourist attraction in the city before was a clock tower or something. No, sorry, it was a 12th century castle, which does sound really interesting. But if I had to pick between the cat and the 12th century castle, I think I'd probably go for the cat.
We're very different people, or I'd be there at that castle every day of the week. But hey, that's all good. It means we can go travelling together and not get in each other's way. Well, that is it for this week's episode of The Week Junior Show. Big thank you to Rahul and Laura. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe or follow us wherever it is you get your podcast from. Tune in next week where we'll be joined by some new guests from The Week Junior team for some more stories, debates and chat. See you then.
Thanks for listening to this podcast, which is made by the same people that make The Week Junior magazine. You can get 6 free issues of The Week Junior or 3 issues of The Week Junior Science and Nature for £5 by heading to theweekjunior.co.uk/podcast offer.